never filtered, always fun.
You don't want anybody to miss anything because they got an alcohol injury, like a cork in the eye or something.
That's a tough position on the DL.
Exactly.
You took a cork off the face.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Hour 2 Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Big game day in the city. Rogers Centre will be hopping tonight. Jays Orioles wildcard game. Marcus Stroman on the mound. Chris Tillman on the mound for Baltimore. The lineups are out. We're ready to rock. Dirk Harris will join us in studio at 5:30. And we'll get into the game tonight, and we'll ask him to break down how the Orioles may attack Stroman, how the Jays may attack Tillman, the bullpen options and the game plan tonight. It's going to be a lot of strategy. Buck Showalter's one hell of a manager, and it's on John Gibbons to match it tonight, because I don't expect either starting pitcher to go very deep into the game. They'll be going to the bullpens pretty quickly, I think. And then it's an arms race. But, you know, the Jays could make it easy tonight, come out and put three or four on the board early.
Yeah, get the bats going.
Get the bats going. And all this chatter surrounding the starting rotation and who's going to be on the mound tonight really does say a lot about how people are nervous about the bats and how cold they've been in September. Because if they were just knocking the lights out, people would say, go ahead, put anyone out there.
Yeah.
Donaldson's going 4-for-5 tonight. Joey Bats will hit a big home run.
Right.
Fine. Stroman gives up 4 or 5. The Jays will put up 6 or 7.
Yeah, not a worry.
But people don't have that belief right now with the
Don't
bats.
You have the belief that this kind of moment, the pressure, it could all come together tonight in front of that crowd, the excitement, feed off everything? Or are you still kind of, it's not going to happen?
No, I feel good about them tonight. I like that they're playing Baltimore. They play well against Baltimore at the Rogers Center. Chris Tillman has been rocked at the Rogers Center for a number of years now. I think the Jays are the favorite. They are the favorite tonight. And I do think the crowd is going to factor in.
That
it's going to feel like a movie set down there. 50,000 lunatics yelling and screaming. It's going to be a great, great vibe.
Two things I hope. Person not on the field, or somebody grabs the ball over the fence and has a Bartman situation. And the umps, ump a proper game. That's the other thing.
That's a good point.
There were some suspicious calls in that series against Kansas City last year.
Is the guy with the mustache?
Jimmy Joyce? We don't need to see him.
I don't know who's umpiring tonight. We'll look into that.
But that's, you know what it's like. Ump makes a bad call. You guys still get mad at Carey Frazier around here.
The thing is about concerning yourselves before the game with umpiring or officiating in general is you have no idea how they're going to factor in.
I understand that.
You have no idea. So you can't be overly concerned about it, but in the moment,
I'm never blame the ump guy or blame the ref. You got to play the game. But there was balls and strikes last year that were utterly ridiculous.
That's the thing. The strike zone is all of a sudden small, or there's inconsistency.
God forbid if they attack Canada again about some stupid comment about how we don't know baseball up here.
Well, that's the American broadcast.
That was just a broadcast. I'm talking
about
somebody.
They'll come up with something.
I'm talking about somebody who can control outside of just the bats and the pitchers and all that. An ump is a guy who can have a swing vote.
100%.
I'll tell you, I'm in the mood for just a blowout with no question marks, no controversy. I just want a blowout.
Sign me up
that's
for that.
Why I
sign me up for
8-0
and just bye-bye. I'll shut it off after 5.
Well, another thing that the umpires can factor in with, you're talking about a lot of emotion tonight. So Donaldson wears his emotion on his sleeve. Bautista wears his emotion on his sleeve. If they're quick on the trigger to throw a guy out, that's when you've got beers on the field. That's when you've got meltdowns in the building. Like, you would like to believe the umpires have a longer leash tonight when it comes to players chirping back and forth, because there's so much emotion involved. I get it. If you're calling game 17 in April and it was a strike and you know it was a strike and some guy starts chirping you, get the hell out of here. Like, I understand. I get it.
Exactly.
I get why the umpire would do that. If it's the wild card game, and
you've got Leslie Nielsen back there,
and you're throwing guys out left, right, and center, and I'm not saying I expect that to be the case, but I do believe umpires should have a different approach when it comes to throwing people out
you think?
In big games. Yes, I absolutely do.
Wow.
Let's head out to Saskatoon now. Leafs are in action tonight, taking on Ottawa. And Ray is in Saskatchewan, halfway home to Vancouver, but not quite. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's up, Ray?
It's snowing.
You're joking.
No, I'm not.
It's snowing.
Like bad?
One snowflake is bad.
You're right.
It was raining. We went into the rink. I'm like, man, it's cold here. And then when we came out, it was like sleet. I'm like, are you kidding me? And it's supposed to stick tonight.
And you didn't bring a coat.
It's in my closet. It's a terrible bit of preparation for this contest, I would say.
Is there any worse, though, than the guy, you know this is what you're going to get, walking in the rink. Hockey weather, eh? I'm not ready for hockey weather right now. Don't give me that garbage. It's early October.
I mean, I couldn't find... If I was actually looking for it, I couldn't find a scarf or a toque or gloves or anything right now. I have no interest. So this was a disappointing set of circumstances this morning. I was not happy with that.
Well, Noodles really got us rolling just before you came on because he brought up the umpires tonight and how they can play a massive role. Like, officiating can factor in left, right, and center in terms of how a game may end up playing out. And I was saying that I believe they should have thicker skin in bigger games. They should understand the emotion of the players is going to be pouring out.
Yeah, but how does that – thicker skin, how does that equate to not screwing up?
No, but I'm talking about the guy who gets challenged.
Who says,
like Donaldson looks back and goes, that wasn't a strike, and goes, you're out of here.
You
like,
can
really?
Just say shut up and go to the bullpen.
Exactly. Like you don't have
the dugout.
You don't have to have the reaction you would in April, May, June.
Fair.
Where do you stand on that? Because you guys have all played playoff games, and different.
I think most officials have, I mean, they're not dumb. They have a sense of the moment. They know what's going on. I would be more interested in whomever's behind the plate, what his strike zone is going to be like. Because that, to me, is as big a determining factor as anything. And I would say over the last few years since they've, got the automated pitch tracker, that the strike zones have become more consistent. You know, some guys call a lower strike, some guys call a higher strike, but for the most part, you don't get a guy that's calling balls and strikes that are, 8 inches off the plate like they used to. So I think that's the biggest factor tonight, is if the game is consistently called, then guys will be happy with it. Or somewhat happy with it. Everybody's going to get a pitch called on them that they don't like. And then whether they argue or not, the trick will be, does their focus get lost or do they zoom back in because, now they've got two strikes. They can't give away another at-bat. Everything's so important because it's one and out. And in any sport, in my opinion, the one and out games are the very best. I love one and outs. To watch as a fan.
Do you go into it fully expecting that luck is going to play a factor?
You'd like to think not, but how could it not? It's it's a pitch called one way or another. It might be a lucky break. It might be an error. It might be, that crazy inning last year in Toronto. How many errors did Texas make?
Three in a row.
They were one of the better fielding teams. They made three in a row. Like, for people that say pressure doesn't necessarily matter, of course it does. And look at the breaks that Toronto had. They took advantage of it. That could happen today. What if one or both of the starters get smashed around in the first couple innings and they empty the bullpens? Like, somebody's going to be a hero that you never think about. Somebody's going to come in and throw two innings of great relief, and you're going to be, man, I didn't even know he was an option. Like, if you've got feet, you're an option in the game today.
Right.
And that makes it, that again makes it just so remarkably cool to watch.
How did you approach pressure games? I literally couldn't deal with the negative because it would just stick in my brain. All I could ever think about was, I mean, against Detroit in the finals, it was awfully tough because we were against the wall, but all I could think about was my talent could be a difference on the positive side as opposed to being the guy that goes out there and throws a pizza up the middle.
For me, I tried as much to be, have the same routine, and I remember after a year or two realizing this was a waste of time because it's not the same. You know, like thinking I was going to go and nap for 2 hours like I normally did. That never happened. And I would work really hard not to think about the game too much because I just grind myself to a pulp and then have wasted all this energy. So while you're thinking, oh, your talent could make a difference, I tried my best not to think a whole lot about it until I got on my way to the rink. Because that, for me, it just the other way, it was almost, I guess, overwhelming for me.
That's what never makes sense as a fan, is when athletes say that, and I don't always believe it, but I'm sure there are some.
Say they don't think about it until they're on their way to the rink?
Yeah. Like, as a fan, I can't stop thinking about it, and I'm a slob on the couch. Like, you're actually playing.
But the night before the game.
See, I'm different than Ray. It was on my brain all day, every second.
And even if I wasn't starting, I would still be because I'm one groin tweak away, one slap shot in the face away from being in there with no warm-up, no nothing. So you're always terrified. You're sitting there going, okay, how do you prepare? I mean, I would think about it too much.
I would come home after morning skate and do, either play with the kids a little bit because they were little or pay some bills or do, like, anything. Because I start thinking about the other goalie or the centerman I'm going to play against, and it's nonstop. I can't even, like, I couldn't relax. And I had to relax because I was just a ball of
hate.
Tension. Hate. Yeah,
nerves.
Anger. Yeah, it's like I had, and then once I got to the rink, it just seemed normal again. That was the easy part for me, is once I got there. I was like, okay, now I'm, you get changed, you get into your routine, you grab a coffee, you fix your sticks, you got a meeting, all of a sudden it's warm up. That felt normal. The rest of the day, I didn't want to think too much about it. It was just too much.
Well, and that's the amazing thing about how every different sport is completely different, because hockey players can totally feed off the energy of the building. Right, they'll come out and they want the building to be fired up because you want to throw your body around. You want to be flying off the first shift.
Except goaltenders.
Well, there you have it. Even within the game, the goalie's coming out saying, dude, don't screw around with me here. I got good energy. I don't want to be jittery.
But I've always maintained, and actually Ron Hextall told me this, he was my first goalie partner in the NHL. You guys, like Ray and O, and you can skate harder, you can hit harder, you can shoot harder. You can't stop the puck harder. You actually have to slow your game down instead of speeding it up. Because if in your mind things are racing and you're not focused and you start thinking, now you're not reacting. So it was really interesting. It's when you're a pitcher, it's probably the same thought process. So you've got to lock it in and basically lock everything else out.
Absolutely. If you start overthrowing it, you're toast.
Yeah.
You gotta pitch the way you would game 34 of the regular season, or at least have that mentality.
Don't you think it's because the positions, goalie, hitter, pitcher, they're so individualistic. Like, you have to build your own bubble. Because just think, if a hitter's there, he can't try and get a hit harder. Because if he's grinding, if he's thinking that hard, he's not thinking about pitch sequence. He's not thinking about all the hitting charts that they've gone through. He's processing a lot of information while they're fiddling around with their batting gloves. He's processing all this information, and then he's got to get in there and react. And if you are trying harder, whatever that means, I don't think you can be successful as a hitter or a pitcher. If in hockey, you can try and increase your energy to be a disruptive force if the puck's not bouncing for you for that immediate time of the game.
with Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Ray, in snowy Saskatoon for a big Leafs preseason game tonight against Ottawa.
Yeah, the roof wouldn't be open here, that's for sure.
No, they would most certainly have it closed with the heaters on inside. Just reading some notes coming out of Mark Masters, it sounds like Matthews will be on a line with Marner tonight. What do you make of that idea? Instead of Matthews Nylander, which had been the case the previous game, and I think Babcock had been alluding to that throughout the preseason and even the offseason, that he kind of sees Matthews and Nylander playing together. What would you make of Matthews and Marner being line mates?
Well, I don't know how different they are. You know, I mean, they're both skilled. They both handle the puck, Marner and Nylander. You know, they're both right-handed. They're both tricky. They're, you know, I mean, Babcock must sit there like it's like Christmas morning, and he's got all these new little toys to play with, and he can shift them around. And, you know, last year you're just grinding to stay in games. Now he's got players he can move around and try different things. And, I mean, it does make sense in a way that if, however they, you want to number the lines, but if Matthews is their third center and you have Marner with him, you're probably at a matchup that might be a little more advantageous to them than having Marner against, you know, a top two pair guy all the time. Maybe that helps ease his transition a little bit. You know, Nylander's already played 20 games. He's that far in front of Marner. So maybe that would play a little bit into it. You know, the lineup tonight, of course, will play a little bit into it. But I just assumed that Nylander and Matthews were gonna play together at least in this run up to the season.
We were talking about Mike Babcock's comments since returning from the World Cup, and outside of the post game on Sunday night where he was fairly critical of his team, he's been pretty positive and fairly complimentary of his team. And he was talking today to the media out in Saskatoon, and he said, quote, "We're way better than last year. We got kids, but we got skill. It's a way different program than a year ago. We now have a team. We're like a fast climbing stock you want to buy. Last year you did not want to buy." How confident do you think he really is that this team could be competitive this year?
You know, I don't know if he's trying to you know, to increase expectations a little bit. Remember last year how they just deflated any possible expectation at the start of the year. This year they seem to be going, or he seems to be going the other way. Like he wants these kids to know that they are good, that they can compete, that they don't have to wait too long till they all mature a little bit. That's what it seems like to me. I look at their forwards and they're really intriguing. And then I look at the defense and go, I don't know that that's going to let them be really competitive. You know, I don't know if it's good enough. Like if your top four is Gardner, Zaitsev, Riley, Hunwick, is that really a top four that you can hang your hat on? I don't, you know, to me, no, the answer is. And so that will go a long way determining how competitive they are. As far as what Babcock thinks, I think he's probably really, you know, really excited to get going with this group, because he's right. They are highly, highly skilled. To watch them even in the morning skate, you're like, man, they can zip the puck around. It looks different than last year, for sure.
Yeah, drastically different. They're going to be a fun team, and should be a fun one tonight. 9:30 puck drop on TSN 4. You can listen to it right here on TSN 1050. Enjoy it tonight, buddy, and we'll break down everything tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then, boys. See you later.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.
In snowy Sask.
That would be
depressing.
Rattling.
So rattling. Snowing in early October.
It's going to happen.
We not
keep talking
for a while
about
here.
It being a bad winter this year.
Yeah, but it's, what, 20
it
degrees out
while.
Today? Yeah, it's supposed to be 24 later in the week in Toronto.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
I'll take the Friday 24.
Yeah.
But then
my golf cutoff is 7. It's got to be over 7. 7 or over, I'm in.
I don't play that low.
No?
I hate it. I hate cold golf. It's the worst.
You hate everything.
I hate the nest, and I hate cold golf.
Do you hate
it?
Cold watching a baseball game?
No, I'm cool with that because I will dress appropriately and it's a big game.
You're right.
If you're talking about tonight's game, cold, I'm cool.
The heat of the building from the fan base being fired up will keep everyone warm.
50,000 people, they're going to keep each other warm.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be too worried about it. All right, Dirk Hayhurst will join us in studio. We'll ask him, is Gibbons' career in Toronto connected to Stroman's start tonight? Like, is it that potentially drastic for Gibbons in his gut going with Stroman tonight? Dirk in studio next.
Whoa, I'm balling, so I'm taking my time on my ride.
All right, we'll get to the Greg Reiner later in the hour. The inaugural edition of Love It, Thanks, or Hate It,
No Thanks.
No Thanks. Very exciting stuff in about 35 minutes. And then Bob McKenzie will come in and just be...
He's going to join in that.
No, he's not.
He'll be so disgusted with that stupid game show. So Bob in studio in about an hour. Speaking of in-studio guests, though, the man, the myth, the legend, Dirk Hayhurst. In studio. What's up, Dirk?
Not much, gentlemen. Thanks for having me in here.
Thanks for coming in, buddy. Yeah. I mean, this is a rare appearance in studio. Must be a big game, I would think, tonight.
Yeah, something like that. It's just going to be a big story. Guys, I'm still... Why the hell are the Blue Jays putting out the lineup they're putting out there? And the Orioles are like, oh, yeah? You think your lineup's bad. Wait till you see, you know, like, we're going to run out Tillman. Ha! Trumped you. It's really going to be the battle of which bad decision is worst.
Really?
So, listen, John Gibbons is a guy that people criticize, but Showalter gets a lot of credit. Showalter's a beloved manager. So if he's making the mistakes, I mean, how do you explain it? Like, why do you think Tillman is the wrong call? Why do you think Stroman is the wrong call?
Okay, so really, I can give Buck Showalter the benefit of the doubt here because if you look at Ubaldo Jimenez's first half, it's horrifying. And the only reason it lasted that long is because there are many other starters that have been tried in that organization this year in the big leagues that were also horrifying. I think right now they have five guys that will enter the postseason with ERAs above five after 10 starts, which is the worst postseason rotation that's ever made it to the postseason since the earned run was recorded. So if you got Chris Tillman with a 3.77 ERA, even though he's been beat up by the Blue Jays, he looks like Cinderella right now because there's that much inconsistency. So I get it. I get why you went with Tillman. I get why you go with your warhorse there because you want some consistency. Even if it's been consistently bad against the Blue Jays, it's better than the potential of Ubaldo Jimenez going out there and just walking the house and exploding with no way to explain it. But on the Blue Jays side of this, you have a clear superior option here. I mean, Francisco Liriano has pitched in this exact situation to this catcher before, seven innings, one run, pretty darn good. And then you look at the Orioles. I mean, the Orioles are the biggest vote of confidence for you to throw Liriano of anything. I mean, they can't hit left-handers.
What did you make of the Jays' explanation that Stroman's been here since day one, and it's not fair to Liriano? He hasn't been here the whole time. Did you not find that weird? Because I did.
Wait, it wasn't fair to the guy that has more big league time, more experience, and has been in this situation? It wasn't fair to him to start him? Or it wasn't fair to Marcus Stroman, the guy who came
off? I just found the whole thing bizarre.
No, it is bizarre. And honestly, I would say that it feels to me as if management put themselves in the situation. Now, this is Blue Jays management, not Gibbons.
Right.
In a situation to say, we made the call, but really it's Gibby's gut. So if we win, it was our call. We're so smart. Aren't you happy we're here now? If we lose, we were going to fire him anyways, and this is just proof why. I mean, it's like a damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Is it Gibby that has the last – like, does Gibby say, this is my guy? Or is this a group boardroom? They all talk about it. Who says, this is my guy, that's the one?
Okay, so it should be the GM, the field man – or the field manager, John Gibbons. It should
so he
be
says
him.
Stroman's my guy.
It should be him, right? It right. should be him. But
what does that mean? It should be
okay.
Him.
I have this feeling that at some point in time, he had a gut thing that said, I want Aaron Sanchez out there. But no science and the delicacy of the arm and, you know, this, we can't do this. So I don't think there's as much trust for John Gibbons as there was in the previous establishment. And so we had more people brought in to decide who was going to pitch than just John Gibbons and maybe the front office.
Well, he was right on Sanchez. Sanchez never should have been skipped two starts. They should have never gone to a six-man rotation because look how brilliantly he pitched 2 days ago. He's still got a lot of gas in the tank. So his gut, his instinct, was in fact right. But I do feel like you just pointed out a minute ago, if Stroman blows up, Gibbons will have to explain it and will likely be on his way out of town.
Yep.
I think, do you get that impression, like his career in Toronto is connected to the Stroman start tonight?
Well, the Stroman start, absolutely. And then, you know, Saunders and Bautista's out in right field tonight. I mean, why? This is going to be a game decided by offense on both sides because we have two pitchers that have been beat up by their opponent. Stroman has the edge here. They haven't as big a sample size against Stroman as the Blue Jays have against Tillman. But it still has all the makings of a slugfest right now. So I want as many defensive options at my leisure for a guy who puts balls in play. If that's the whole rationale here, gentlemen, we want Stroman out there because they're aggressive and they're going to roll a lot of balls over. They're going to spray a lot of balls. Why wouldn't you put your best defense out there to behind him? I mean, you picked the wrong starter, and now it's almost like you're picking the wrong defense to go with them. And Jay Happ, hello, he could throw today. He's a left-handed weapon in a deathmatch game. You want all your weapons available. How come he can't come out of the pen today? What's up with that?
Well, and a lot of people are also bringing that up, that Estrada is available to them, but not available to start. So does that mean he's available for 25 pitches as opposed to potentially 75 pitches? I mean, what's the explanation there? Because he last pitched on Friday. So talking, what, 3 full days rest?
Right. So this is a real this is the kind of thing that, you know, we're suddenly this year, this is a question. Like, what can Estrada do, really? But last year when it was David Price, oh my God, we were just frothing at the mouth to get him in the game. It's David freaking Price. I want David Price to throw. But there's a big difference between a guy that throws in the high 90s from the left side and gets K's and a guy that needs you to see his fastball and changeup over the course of a game for him to really get in your head.
Right, so the deception may not be there over the course of 20 pitches as opposed to 60, 80 plus.
His changeup's good, but you know the changeup isn't a put-down pitch.
Right.
I mean, he gets good the longer he goes into a game.
So how short of a leash is both of these pitchers on?
That's a great question. So that's a great question.
Jump Noodles. In for one great question.
That's great. Well done. Retire. Well done, Noodles. Well,
retire now, Noodles.
I'm done.
You're out, buddy. Mic off.
So why this is such a great question is because you can't use any of the usual metrics that you use to make decisions during a regular game, even in a normal postseason game, because of this wild card factor, right? It's a crapshoot. A crapshoot. I mean, how do you? I trust my gut until two guys get a hit, and then I got Liriano up in the second inning.
Right.
Wow, that's a really tepid gut you have there, Mr. Gibbons. So we're in a situation where normally in the regular season, if Stroman gets in trouble, you just have to go with him because the leash is longer by default, the nature of the game. But now the fact that you have so many options at the ready in the bullpen almost makes you pull the trigger maybe too soon. There's the potential of that happening and sending guys out there to their doom. I mean, this leash is going to be short, and the only thing that scares me is that if you're John Gibbons and you know if you screw up, you're going to get fired, do you overmanage or do you undermanage? This is really where managers make their money.
I'm thinking it's going to be a 5.5 hour baseball game. Like,
they'll
is that
be
your number for an over under?
It's going to be at least 3.5 anyway, and especially if it's a slugfest, that means a lot of arms are going to come in and come out. There's going to be a lot of extended innings. Gibbons walking out to the mound 3 or 4 times, that's good for 45 minutes. I mean, this cat, no
one
walks slower. No.
Did they have a clock? I thought they had a clock.
30 seconds. It's supposed to be 30 there and back. Get out.
Gibbons doesn't care.
The clock?
They're not going to enforce it. There's no way. Not a wild card game. Dirk Hayhurst in studio. The back end of the Jays bullpen. Grilly had been money for so long. Past couple of weeks, not so money. Osuna's been asked to do a lot throughout the whole season, and especially recently, multiple times over the past 5-6 games, they said, you've got to get us 6 outs. We don't have any other options. O was saying earlier, and I think he's right, in a game like this where you're so fired up, the crowd is so fired up, does the idea of being out of gas really apply in this one game? Like, is it possible Osuna comes out for 6 outs and we say, he's going to run out of gas, or will he be so fired up that doesn't mean he won't get hit, but you won't be concerning about velocity or anything like that?
No, I don't. I'm not going to factor that in. I mean, even velocity, it's about execution for me at this point. You know, I want guys in my back end that have been in high-pressure situations before because they're not going to overpitch. They're not going to let the intensity dictate how they throw, their mechanics, and so forth. Osuna has been asked to do a lot. He's had a rough past month, and he's going up. I mean, his opponent on the other side, Britton has been perfect.
Perfect.
If I'm the Blue Jays, I want to win the game early and then bleed them out if I have to. If I'm worried about it, I need a buffer early because that pen is tough and that closer is perfect. So, you know, asking for a guy to start that's going to spot some runs and you kind of know that's his MO. Why? So, yeah, there's a lot on the shoulders, but, you know, this is when diamonds are made, really. You play for these moments. And whoever embraces the pressure the best, whether they've had a bad run before they got in here or not, is ultimately going to be the victor.
Is there a guy in the lineup 1-9 that you have circled and you expect to be a difference maker or maybe, in other words, has to be a difference maker for the Jays to win tonight?
Josh Donaldson has to get it going. I mean, this has been a cold month for him, and the Jays queued off of him. You know, it's a leadership vacuum issue, right? I mean, Jose Bautista's on the way out, so whatever. He's been kind of an eye guy. That's kind of known. Whatever. So, happy trails. Hope you get your hit, and then maybe you get your contract. See you later. Edwin Encarnacion, silent guy. Surprised he didn't hurt his elbow trying on Boston Red Sox caps when he was in Boston because he's going to be
you
in
think
Boston
he's walking. You think it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, someone's going to back a Brinks truck up and just offer him whatever he wants, and he's going to go play for that team. Saunders has had it really sucks for Saunders because, oh my gosh, the breakout year had arrived and then it's gone. Where did I put it? Oh my gosh, did somebody check the lost and found? Where did it go? So all these guys, you know, they're in walk years. They're trying to do a lot right now. So I'm not worried about that. But Donaldson's sticking around for a bit. And really the young guys look to him. He's Mr. Leadership. I mean, think of all the narratives that were written about his incredible leadership intensity. Where is it right now? Where's the hitting? You know, it's tough to be the guy when you're not playing like the guy.
The rah-rah guy when you're not producing.
Right. And that's very telling. It's hard to be. If you're not the rah-rah guy when you're not swinging it, you lose your merit when you are. You do. So he needs to turn that on.
I'm kind of hoping they win tonight after that little kind of lineup talk about next year. It's not too...
Well, you know, listen, it's...
not too exciting for Jays fans.
It's not. But that's the situation you could be dealing with here is if they lose here, they could spin it as it was a disappointing season. Maybe we don't have the right mix of guys. Like, that's actually what could be at stake here.
Quasi-rebuild.
Yeah. I hope that they don't do that. I don't think they have to do that. I would like to believe that if Shapiro and Atkins actually went to ownership and said, this is what we think should happen, and ownership doesn't believe it, they say, no, that's not going to happen. Or if you want to follow through, there's the door. See you later. Because this ownership is making a lot of money for the first time in a long time. A lot of money. And they're going to make a fortune tonight. 50,000 people paying a premium. If they get through, they're guaranteed at least one game in the next series, more than likely two at the Rogers Center. That means over the course of a week, you're going to have 150,000 people in your building paying a fortune. And they own all the media companies who are going to rake in all the cash as well. Like, I am quite curious, and I know this is putting the cart before the horse, but... if Shapiro and Atkins went in and said, we want to do this, that, and the other, we don't want to spend this, we don't think we should spend that, if the owners ever said, wait a minute, this doesn't add up because I'm not taking a step back right now when we're finally making cash.
Yeah, this group of players, we have to pay them for us to make the cash.
Exactly.
I think if you're the ownership, I think what you're going to do is you're going to say, we had a hell of a windfall, and we already budgeted in for this team to be bad. We're used to operating at that budget, so this is pure profit now. And we've already earmarked it to go into the minor league system down in Dunedin. We're going to start retooling that. And I like the real value-conscious sensibilities of our new general manager who wants more prospects and more trade bait in the organization. And that's worked for us before in the past. And we got the ratings up and people are subscribing. We got more ticket sales.
Yeah, but they've done that for the last 10 years. Like, it's like, don't you ever have to live for the now? I mean...
Right, but that's like, you know, I mean, that's a function of... PR. That's a PR campaign. You know, you live for the now. Now is, that's why this particular game is disappointing, because it's kind of like, it shows the hand of where the head is at, really, for the rest of this organization. If you're really worried about winning in the now, why didn't you run out the guys that are best suited to win for you right now? You know, why didn't you make splashy trades when you had the trade deadline? I realize you didn't have a lot in the tank, but you had something. I mean, you got a reclamation project, which we were all silly enough to believe in with Francisco Liriano. And then lo and behold, he actually turns the corner like you predicted, and he's not even your first guy out of the chute against the best team matchup you could have possibly asked for in this situation. So if you ask me, and you have, I'm just going to tell you, I think that this organization is fine with mediocrity, because mediocrity is hella profitable in this league, and this organization wants to rebuild and retool from the inside out.
I think that was always the original plan when they first started with Shapiro and talking with Shapiro even before last season. And then when he officially came on board, they took off, and then he kind of had to accept, hey, we're a pretty good team.
Well, that's pretty disappointing to hear as a Toronto sports fan. It's like, there's your 2 years of fun, and then it's going to take a step back. You remember 5 years ago when they said, we're going to make the playoffs three of the next 5 years. They didn't do it.
No,
and
they
last
didn't.
Year, they finally got in, and they're in again this year. And then it's what, take those 2 years, and then we're going to take the step back.
And that's why tonight is so important. And that's why, you know,
ride it out and
win tonight, roll into Texas. That series will be one of the most anticipated series in the history of this city. Texas, yep. Toronto. That's what's at stake, too. And that's the beauty of this tonight. Is that
Balls.
That's what's waiting for you is Rougned Odor in Texas. That is what is waiting for this team.
The way it was explained to me is that these two teams, if they do have another matchup, they will just line up in front of each other, you know, like Roman army style.
Yeah.
And Jose Bautista will call out their best player. They'll fight to the death, and that'll decide the series. So I look forward to that.
I am really looking forward to that. That would be quite entertaining. Great stuff, Dirk. And we'll catch you on TSN, I guess, all night. Throughout the loop, whole nine yards, buddy.
You got it. I will be here.
Thanks for popping in studio.
Thank you.
There he is, Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst. Again, big game down at the Rogers Center. You're all aware of it by now. Orioles-Jays just after 8 p.m. We're going to get to more Jays talk to kick off the 6 p.m. hour and Bob McKenzie in studio at 6:20. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. We'll get to the Grick Reiner here in just a moment. Back into Jay's talk to kick off the 6 p.m. hour. A bunch of people tweeting in asking for advice. How you get out of like a family event tonight to watch the game?
Not feeling well. Stay home. Bad stomach. Give it to Harry Dunn.
Too obvious to go that route.
Really?
Yeah, but they can never question you.
Oh, they can question you.
I'm not
you.
Saying go out.
If you just send an email saying, I am really not feeling good right now.
Dude, you but see if they right see through you, that.
Yeah, if they see you on TV gooned with a beer the game, then you're in
home.
Trouble.
I'm not saying go and eat some raw chicken so that you're on the toilet all night.
Here's the thing. Can't family just deal with the fact if you just call someone and say, look,
I'm out.
I'm going to the Jays game. I'm not going to that stupid party. You don't have to say stupid. You just say, I'm not coming.
I'm out.
Deal with it. They'll hate you for 2 days, and then it's over.
Depends. It depends on what it is. I thought I read something about a
what
baptism.
What kind of family functions on a Tuesday night that's so important?
I think one's a baptism. It's like, how the hell do you get out of that?
I don't know.
Just say, I'm going to the Jays game.
You know what always
the
helps?
The kid will never remember anyway.
Passion and envelope. You drive over to the house early, put $500 in an envelope, slide it under the door, say, can't make it. See you guys later. Have a
cash in an envelope.
I think cash in an envelope always eases the pain of being absent.
Well, yeah, but that's probably pushing it. I mean, not everyone's got $500
cash. But that's what people would pay for a ticket tonight, wouldn't you?
Okay, but let's say you're not going to the game. You just want to watch the game.
Okay.
You want to sit at home on your couch and order pizza and
watch
the game.
Take a cash advance on your Visa for $500.
But that doesn't do anything.
No.
That doesn't do anything.
You just take the chance of a flat no-show.
didn't even show up.
Your phone would be blowing up.
Be the move to just say, you know what, got
totally
me.
Forgot
the hell with it,
totally forgot.
No way.
Me and my buddies had a pregame going. We had no idea what was going on, and I totally forgot. I'm really sorry. Do you forgive me? If the answer is no, goodbye.
Love it.
Thanks.
I don't know.
Man.
I don't know. I'm telling
you. Okay,
depends.
What's your move? You want to watch the game.
I know. I'm honestly drawing blanks
I've
here.
I've got another little side one. We all have iPhones now. You can put that game on your phone.
That's not just the same.
You're not going to enjoy it.
Not the same. If you're in a church or something, you can't do that either. I guess you could, but you're asking for big trouble.
I think it's
better to just say, I got to be honest, I'm not coming, than to show up and half-ass your appearance because you're paying attention to the game anyway.
Sorry, I'm not. Just say, you're right. Disarm them with the truth. Go at them right and say, listen, I'm sorry. I'm not coming.
What are they going to do? If you're in the family, they're not going
to
kick you out.
They may not talk to you for like 3 months, but that may be a blessing in disguise. If they're a pain in the ass and always
people
say, you got to
so
see the baby. You
got to
see the baby.
Yeah,
it's like
true.
Kramer.
Yeah.
Or Larry David, where it's like, no, I'm good. I'm not going to go upstairs to see the baby.
All right, so we're just be honest. Just say you don't want to go.
I think you just be honest. Yeah, I agree.
There's your answer. All that for
cash in an envelope is always nice, too.
What is this, the Godfather? All right, let's hit the grit grinder.
And now it's time for the 40-30 Wrangler Low Center of Gravity Grit Player of the Game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
The 40-30 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder is brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans.
I'm going with Gibby, man. Maybe it's the last of Gibby. Who knows? He's my grit grinder.
I'm going to do a two-pack, a quick one. I'm going to go with the Toronto Blue Jays. Everyone, go out and be the grit grinders tonight. And the second one is on Twitter, there's a brawl at McDonald's, and there was a guy
with a raccoon and a dart.
A baby raccoon in his shirt.
At the McDonald's?
Smoking a dart, watching
the fight.
We'll
show it to you in commercial.
During the fight?
During the fight. He's an idiot, but I mean.
We love him.
Yeah, the guy is hacking a dart in a McDonald's.
I've got a lot of time and respect for that. Anyone going to the Nest tonight? Grit Grinders.
There you go.
And I'm sick over this, but Sam Bradford. Guy's been money.
4-0.
They're 4-0. He was money last night. He's cost me so much money over the years. I'm sick over it. But
you love it or hate it?
Hate it.
Love it.
No thanks, but he's a grit grinder. The 40-30 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder was brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans, built with U-shaped construction and four-way flex technology. They're the most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear.
Guaranteed.
Final hour up next. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.